chapter 20, our text today, Acts 20, verses 28 through 32. Well, let's pray first. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us clear revelation of yourself and of the duty that you require of us as your people. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And our prayer today is that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would make this word alive to us. Teach us, we pray, from your word. And our desire today, Lord, is to hear your voice. And may we indeed hear your voice and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. As I was reflecting this week on the many prayers that have been offered up, the many times we've gone before the throne of God here in this church, prayed for him to send us people, to send people with certain talents and abilities. We prayed for men to come. Like most churches today, churches are turning into matriarchal instead of patriarchal churches. And we prayed that God would send us a man who would be qualified and be willing to serve as an elder. And God answered our prayers. He not only sent us a man, he sent him with a wife who can sing and play the organ. God is good. So as I thought about that this week and thought about an appropriate sermon for an ordination, my thoughts went almost immediately to Acts chapter 20 and Paul's address to the Ephesian elders, because this is one passage for me as your pastor that keeps me grounded when the world and the flesh and the devil would try to move me aside one way or the other from the performance of a sacred duty. And I think there is no more solemn words or no more meaningful words in Scripture about this particular office. So let's now hear the word of Holy Scripture from Acts chapter 20. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is God's word. I thought once this week that I would preach perhaps from 1 Timothy 3 or Titus 1, excuse me, where Paul gives the qualifications of an elder. But as I reflected on this passage and as I actually laid those two passages beside this, I think Paul covered all that ground here, perhaps in a different form, but I think he pretty much summed that up here. You know, those passages talk about an elder that he should be above reproach. He'd be respectable and on and on. Paul says here, you should keep watch over yourself. How can you feed the flock of God if you do not keep watch over yourself? This means being daily in prayer. It means being immersed daily in the Scriptures, in in-depth Bible study, in instruction in the Word. And just so the rest of you don't feel left out this morning, I'm not just talking to David. let me ask you this question. How can you feel or fulfill your God-ordained, God-called ministry as a husband and a wife, as a father or a mother or a child, as a grandfather or a grandmother, as a good neighbor, if you yourself neglect these means of grace? You must be built up. You must take heed to yourself. You must take heed of the thoughts and actions in which you engage. You must watch your mouth. You must watch the distractions and temptations that the world throws in front of you each day. You must guard your eyes and your ears every day. How can you correct others? How can you give instruction to others if you do not take heed to yourself? It is only as we strengthen ourselves, only as we grow in our understanding and our commitment to God's Word and what it says, that we can indeed model and correct and discipline and love and shepherd those over whom God has given us care. And that care varies from the elder to the parent to the grandparent, even to the neighbor. If you have a lost neighbor, God may have put you next to them in your home to shepherd and guide them in the path in which they should go. So, as we think of these things, take heed to yourself that you model before the world God's church and the gospel. And that requires careful attention to yourself. The Holy Spirit is the one who calls men to this office. Paul says plainly here that this is the Holy Spirit. Now, we're Presbyterians. We like things done decently and in order. The session recommended David to you. You nominated him by the action of this church. He went through a training process. You elected him by the vote of this church. But in spite of all that, it is the Holy Spirit who calls and appoints elders. It is God who summons people to this office and to this job and to this work. This is God's doing, and Paul makes it very clear here in verse 28. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It is the work of God's Spirit, and the Spirit testifies with each man's conscience, each man's heart, if he is called to this work. So this is God's doing. And since it is God who calls, the elder must be all the more diligent in the exercise and the carrying out of this duty, because it is to God that they will answer. It is God's church. It is God's people and God's flock. And we read there from Ezekiel this morning, God has a very low opinion of the shepherds who do not take care of the flock. And it is to God that they will have to answer. So it is God who gives them care of the flock. And this care involves shepherding. That word implies the tending and the feeding of the flock. It is the same word that Jesus used in John 21 when he spoke to Peter. And he said, "Shepherd my sheep." Those same words that Peter would repeat later in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, undoubtedly remembering those words of the Lord when he said to the elders, "As elders, be shepherds of the flock of God over which he has placed you." So this feeding, this care of the sheep is required, and they need to be nourished. They need to be cared for. They need to be fed. And this applies to elder and church member alike. The weak sheep and the young sheep and the injured sheep need to have special attention given, for they are easy prey for the wolves and for those out there who would damage and destroy God's flock. So they need to be fed and nourished. They have to be strengthened through a proper teaching, through the proper doctrine of the word, through the proper food. They need to be nourished and built up. But the admonition and the reason which stands over all these other reasons, the one in comparison with which all the others pale, is the price which was paid for the flock. The price which was paid for the church of God. And that price was none other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a great price was paid for those of God's church and His flock. How terrible, how despicable would it be for a man to show contempt for, or to be careless in the administration of, or the government of, that which God has paid such a dear price for. Nothing could be more unthinkable, because God has paid this price, His own blood, the blood of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the world is God's by virtue of creation, but the church is God's by virtue of redemption. And the price of that redemption was the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that which belongs to God is always under attack from the world, and the flesh, and the devil. The flock of God, the church of God, is always under attack by wolves. Paul even says that. He knows that ferocious wolves will come in and attack the flock. Jesus Himself said that in Matthew 7. And He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about poor shepherds or false shepherds, like we read about in our Old Testament reading this morning. Those, Jesus said, they come into the flock wearing sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They hide under the name of pastor and elder and deacon and brother and sister and church member and doctor and professor and bishop and on and on and on. But they hide under these titles and these names, and they come in and ravage the flock. The cause of this is ambition, Paul says. They do this to draw away disciples after themselves. It is ambition that causes a man to abandon the truth of God's word and to serve his own interest. Jesus said in John 7 and verse 18 that he who speaks on his own does it to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of him who sent him is a man of truth. The Lord was very critical in what we read in Ezekiel 34 this morning of the false shepherds. The shepherds who took care of themselves. The shepherds who used the flock to advance themselves and make themselves rich. Woe to those shepherds, he said. The shepherd is to serve Christ by serving his church, by taking care of his flock. That is the duty of the shepherd. And Paul lays down for the Ephesian elders an exhortation from his own example before them. Look at how he worked. Look at his care for the church. Look at his exhortations day and night. And if you look in the verses that follow our text today, he talked about his hard work so as not to be a burden. How he worked and did all this for the church, for God's flock. There is much here to commend to the elder and to the church member. We have a tremendous task before us. We are called to take the truth of the gospel into a dark and dying world who cares nothing for the gospel, nothing for God's church, nothing for God's word. It requires exhortation and effort day and night. And that is what we are called to do. That is our job, and I would say to all of you, how does your witness for the gospel stack up? What does the world see in your labor and your exhortation for the gospel and for the church, which God bought with his own blood? How can we do this? How can a man stand here and take these vows for this office? In fact, and in the same way, how can a church member stand here, as many of you have done in this very spot, and take those vows of membership, knowing what it entails? It is only, as Paul says here to the Ephesian elders, by being commended to God and the word of his grace. It is God's Holy Spirit that strengthens us and enables us to do that which he has called us to do. It is only by the indwelling power of his Spirit that we can hope to do any of these things. It is only by the word of his grace. The instrument of salvation and sanctification wielded by the Spirit that we can attempt to do these things. We have it not within us to do this. It is these words, the awesome responsibility that is laid upon us, that drives me to my knees. The church which God bought with his own blood, and yet he has taken that church and he has entrusted it to sinful men. Redeemed men, no doubt, but sinful men nonetheless. And it is only by being commended to God and to his grace and by the power of his Holy Spirit and the power of his word that we can do this, that we can set forth and govern and represent in the world his flock and his church, the church that was so precious to him, the church that he bought with his own blood. Well, let's pray. Now, Lord, may all glory in the church be to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.